This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Amy Scott.
Great to have you with us on this Jobs Day. And what a headline, 303,000 jobs added last month. For reference, economists were expecting around 200,000. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate ticked down just a touch to 3.8%. It's been below 4% now for more than 2 years, the longest streak since the 1960s. To talk about what all of this means about the economy and for interest rates, we have Catherine Rampell at The Washington Post and Gina Smilek at The New York Times. Great to have you both here.
Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
So, Gina, let's start with your initial reaction. What adjective would you use to describe this job market?
Robust. I mean, this is a it's a really strong job market. You know, I think, and it's kind of good news on all sides, too. We're seeing very strong wage growth, but it is moderating a little bit, which is what my friends at the Federal Reserve really wanted to see. And at the same time, we're seeing this really, really solid job, these incredibly solid job gains, really be enabled by an increase in population and an increase in availability among existing workers. So we're seeing this, you know, increased worker supply, which is allowing companies to hire more, which is sort of creating this positive feedback loop where you've got people working and they're spending money. And so other people are getting hired. And, you know, it's a very good news economy at the moment, I would say, as far as jobs are concerned.
Catherine, my big question was why? I mean, how is this economy still producing this many jobs when interest rates are so high, relatively speaking?
It has been something of a puzzle why interest rate hikes, which are intended to cool the economy, have not had apparently more of an effect. I mean, it's hard to know what the counterfactual is exactly, but they don't seem to have cool. The economy does not seem cool, I'll put it that way.
Right.
It's a pretty hot economy. And I think that there are a number of theories out there. One is that, as Gina pointed to, the supply side, the labor supply has been quite strong, and that's largely driven by above trend immigration. So you have native born workers who are disproportionately older, who are retiring, going out of the labor force, not being fully offset by younger native born workers entering the labor force. But on the other hand, you have a huge number of immigrants coming in who are disproportionately working age and are able to fill all of those jobs that employers have available. And as long as demand remains strong, and again, it may have cooled somewhat because of those more restrictive financial conditions, as long as demand remains relatively strong and there are workers coming in to build stuff, to make stuff, to you know, create services, that keeps the economy humming. And of course, they have demand. They contribute to consumer demand as well. But I think it's really a supply side story. You have the untangling of a number of supply side problems, supply chain problems, as well as this influx of new talent coming in and filling jobs.
And Gina, this is something you wrote about today, too, this the role that immigration plays in keeping this strong job market sustainable. So talk about what that means for employers. If they're able to fill jobs, they have plenty of workers, that puts less pressure on them to raise wages to attract people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, from a consumer perspective, we care about this because, you know, for example, if I really want to buy a new bike this year, but none of the bike vendors that I shop for bikes at are able to hire, then it's going to be much more difficult for me to do that. You're going to have all these problems in the sort of the chain along the way. But if we've got enough labor, then we can sort of provide more services and products to the economy. And it means that prices don't go up as much. It means that we don't have these bottlenecks that we experienced early in the pandemic that really pushed prices up pretty drastically. And so I think that you've got, as Catherine was saying, you've got this nice untangling that's happening because we've got so many laborers, so many potential workers coming into this economy and really filling in needed positions. And so I think we've had a good outcome in that regard. And you've really seen the Federal Reserve in particular get a lot less nervous about the economy and the possibility of overheating because of strong job gains, specifically because this has happened. You know, they are looking at this world and they're saying, you know, very strong job growth, an economy that's really sort of growing gangbusters, but it's happening because of these supply side improvements, and those aren't inflationary. And so we can kind of tolerate them in a way that we wouldn't have if this was all coming just from the demand side of the economy. So it's a good news story.
Okay, so what does all this mean, Catherine, for interest rates and hopes, at least among some market participants, that the Fed would start cutting?
Well, that's complicated. I mean, we do have a lot more data coming in between now and the next, at least the next Fed meeting, and then presumably after that as well. But in the meantime, if you look at how markets reacted to the jobs report today, they do seem to be intuiting that there may be fewer rate cuts happening this year, or at least later, happening later this year than had once been predicted. Like a month ago, if you look at markets, the trading activity implied that there was like a 70% chance of at least one Fed rate cut by June. I looked a little bit before this show, and now it's less than half, you know, less than 50% chance that we'll have at least one cut by June. And that's, again, because the economy is very strong. We have seen some slightly hotter than desired inflation imprints recently. But the more positive interpretation of all of that is exactly what we've been talking about, that maybe you can have strong growth and not be worried about that pushing prices up too much because of these supply side improvements. But
yeah,
it's really hard to say. Again, we'll have to watch the other data that come in the next few weeks.
Yeah, and we'll find out a lot more next Wednesday, I think it is, when the Consumer Price Index comes out. Well, Gina Smilek at the New York Times, Catherine Rempel at the Washington Post, we always appreciate your insights. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.